30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam on this, a very temperate, I guess would be the right word, Tuesday. We're here today to talk about some of the big news from the last week or so. Disney has their new corporate propaganda cartoon out, and they had a nice corporate propaganda piece during Monday Night Football. Which is good because it offsets some of the less than stellar news out of Marvel Studios. But we're still in this weird period as the strikes are going on, and we'll give an update about the SAG strike as well. So, let's start out with, I guess positivity would be the right word to define what we're going to call this. Positivity, you know, or something resembling positivity, or them trying to portray it as positivity. Disney turned 100 yesterday. I think it was exactly yesterday on the date. I don't know the exact date. Either way, Disney turned 100. They put out this thing, Once Upon a Studio, which is a cartoon where all of the characters from Disney's animated stuff comes together to take a giant picture outside of Disney Animation. And look, I'll say this. Disney is very good at creating corporate propaganda pieces designed to bank on nostalgia. Imagineering story, Mickey the Story of a Mouse, which has the appearance of being a... look at how great this is. Look at how great we are, you know, with Mickey. And look, we're going to tell even the bad side of what we did with the Mickey Mouse trademark, and even that wasn't exactly 100% well done. And, you know, with all of this, and with Disney doing all of this, it's kind of like, you know, see, we had loved it, and it makes sense from a corporate perspective. And look, to this thing's credit, which it does its what it's supposed to do. It's meant to shine a light on what you loved about Disney in the past, and shine, and look, even the TV spot that they aired on in the middle of the fucking halftime show did the same thing. It's like, look, this is what you remember, this is what you love, this is, you know, just keep your subscription going for another month and watch some of these movies. And to its credit, I almost did. I almost did go in and watch. I went and watched Rick and Morty instead. But there was a point where I was like, you know what, maybe I will watch Alice in Wonderland again. Because I haven't watched that movie in a while, and that movie's a fucking trip and a half. Either way, point stands, it's a corporate propaganda piece, and that this is. I think that it is, you know, it's cute. There are some questionable times where the CGI characters don't look quite... Like, it's weird, because... And I think it does come from the fact that we have, as an industry, there's more experience in making 2D characters interact with live-action entities. We've been doing that longer. Where it's like, I think back and there's like, you know, Bugs Bunny interacting with real people. And you know, Jerry dancing with Fred Astaire. And it's... We've been doing that longer, and it looks more real. Now, look, I understand that CGI characters exist and look real in other movies, like Thanos and, you know, who was the other, really? Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean. These characters exist. The difference is they don't look inherently cartoony, which kind of, for whatever reason, looks a little bit weird here. And there are points where it looks kind of off. There's one shot with Anna and Elsa from Frozen that's a little weird. There's a scene where it's kind of like they're on a different plane of existence in another one, and it kind of gets a little off at times. But it's cute and gets the job done. If you want to watch it, it's 12 minutes of your life that if you're willing to sell off to Disney to watch, by all means, go ahead and do it. What else is there on the itinerary? Now, the other thing, let's go to the strikes first, and the strikes do kind of dovetail back into the other topic. Strike. The WGA strike has been resolved, deal has been signed, members have ratified, WGA strike is now over. SAG is still in the middle of its strike. Now, the issue with the SAG strike is there was a meeting. I think it was right before Columbus Day. They had a meeting with the AMPTP, and the studios have since backed out of negotiating entirely. They don't want to negotiate a new contract. To which I say, why is this, what is the alternative? And I think that that's the thing. People were dunking on the AMPTP, bringing that offer to the writers, the one that eventually got, ratified, is our best and final offer. And it's like, what's the alternative? You're gonna write your own shit? Like, is that what you're gonna do? You're gonna do entirely reality television? You can't have a final offer in this case, because it's a whatever. The same thing kind of happens here. It's like, so what? You're not gonna negotiate with the actors? What, you think they're just not gonna, like, you're just gonna not make anything? That's the alternative here, is you're not producing anything. And we're going to start getting into a point where things need to get delayed, things that are further out than we anticipated. And if we get to a point where Deadpool 3 is probably the biggest title that could get delayed, because there are some titles that could get delayed that are delayed, and it's not because the movie's not done. If I remember correctly, Pictures have been locked on Dune for quite some time now. Dune got delayed because they wanted the actors to be able to do a press tour. They wanted, Florence Pugh out there. They wanted Timothée Chalamet. They wanted Zendaya. They want them front and center to be able to promote the movie. I understand that. Granted, we could have avoided this by negotiating in good faith and coming with a contract that was fair and equitable. But if you're not going to do that, I understand why you're going to delay the movie to March. By February, there should be a deal. So that movie will probably still come out when it comes out. The issue is the movies that are slated for midway or later through the year that do not have, that are not done with principal photography. Your Deadpool 3s, your Captain America, or I think Captain America is done. I think they shot Captain America, and as long as they can use what they have and finish out with that, you may get that next year. Your Thunderbolts, your Sonic 3s, your I don't know where the ballerina is in this, but the ballerina, which is the John Wick spin-off movie with Ana de Armas. I think Furiosa is done. Your Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2s. Your Inside Out. And it's kind of a weird situation to be in, where all of these movies may not be able to come out if we can't get our shit together. And I think that that might be why we don't have the trailer for Inside Out yet. Because you could put a teaser out. Why haven't you? Why is there no teaser for Deadpool 3? Why is there no teaser for, and I think it's too, it's like Sean Levy did put out a thing, and he's like, look, I've shot half the movie, I edited half the movie. So if the strike ends and they can get back to work by the end of the month, then yeah, I could see them coming out in January. Because if half the movie is locked, yeah, you can, and depending on what it is that still needs to get done, yeah, you can do that. And then you can also, it's not like it used to be. You could, for big CGI fights that are featuring people in masks fighting, you could CGI out that stuff and finalize it without people acting. Like, that could be done without them. It's basically an animated movie in the same way that you could do an like you could do an animated movie and then go shoot the dialogue after, or record the dialogue after, and then edit it together. The point stands. There is a chance, but the window is rapidly closing on getting that movie out, which will cause more adjustments to next year's calendar. I do think that there's a chance that we end up not seeing this next year, in early in the year. I can't. I have no way of knowing one way or the other, but we will see how that goes. And the reason, and this does go into our next thing, is that Marvel Studios is not exactly in the position of power it was at the beginning of this decade. And I think that there are a few things that work against them coming into this, and we've talked about this before. I would be very interested. Like, there's a book coming out called The Reign of Marvel Studios. This book comes out, and obviously I'm going to read it so we can talk about it. Oh, I think it is out. Maybe the audiobook's not out yet. But this book came out and is outlining some of, you know, what's there. I would be interested, having not read the book, I would be interested to know. I'm going to see if I can get it on Audible, actually. I would be interested to know if this, you know, it, Marvel Studios as it stands, and I'm in the middle of the Hunger Games, so I'm going through it for a ranking episode. We're going to do one Beware of Spoilers, Josie and I, in terms of my audiobook listening. But I would be interested to know, did, what's it called? What was the plan for phase 4, 5, and 6, had there not been talks on the table for Fox buying, you know, or Disney buying Fox? Because herein lies the issue that I think is worth addressing. When Disney was coming out to buy Fox, it was early enough in the development of Phase 4, 5, and 6 where it would have influenced it, yet not early enough where there was a concrete vision going forward early in Phases 4, 5, and 6 to really indicate that that was where they were going. And look, let's be honest. Phase 1 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe does not really build toward Thanos. The only real reference to Thanos that you get is at the end of, you know, at the end of it. And at the end of the Avengers, which at that point you've introduced two Infinity Stones, although one of them was not ever explained to be an Infinity Stone, and even the Avengers movie has to get retconned a few times to explain it. And the same goes for the Tesseract, where it's like they, you know, it looks more like, with the benefit of hindsight, it looks like it was building towards it, but there are retcons along the way. And by the time you get to Infinity War, it's like, oh, okay, we built this thing, here's this big story, and we've watched all of these movies instantly go to there. And I would be very curious to know, if not for Disney Plus, if not for Fox being acquired by Disney and them getting back the rights to Fantastic Four and to Kang the Conqueror and to all of that, was the plan still to do Secret Wars as that? Was the plan for No Way Home always going to be this multiverse movie? Like, was that always in the cards, or was this something that came about after? Because if you look at what happened in early Phase 4, it's, you know, it's flashback movies, it's stuff directly leading out. Was the original plan to do, like, their own version of House of M and have Wanda be the overarching bad guy over the course of multiple movies? Was that the plan? Was the plan to do Young Avengers? Was the plan to have it just be this team led by, you know, by T'Challa, by Spider-Man, by Captain Marvel? Like, was that the plan? What was the alternate plan? Would be the one thing that I'd be interested in if they could get into that. What was the alternate plan for the post-Endgame era? Like, and at what point did they have to shift? Because here's the thing about it, whereas like they cast Jonathan Majors as Kang the Conqueror, and I've talked about this before, where we live in an era now where we know too much about movies, to the point where things happen and we know it before the movies do, but the movies are still acting like it's a surprise. If you look at the way they've been treating Kang in the movies, that's kind of the case. Where when we're first introduced to He Who Remains and Loki, he is He Who Remains. There are Easter eggs that indicate that he is, you know, likely Kang the Conqueror, or he could be Kang the Conqueror. And had we not lived in a world where we knew going into it that Jonathan Majors is playing Kang, And had we not known that, you know, Disney had reacquired the rights to Kang when it had acquired the rights to Fox, it may have been an interesting, you know, thing where it's like, oh, this is them doing their version of Kang the Conqueror because they can't use it. And to that end, I'm like, all right, you know, that's cool. And then when you get to Quantumania, the reveal of Kang early on, when he shows up, and the way it's shot, it's designed to be a reveal where you're supposed to be like, oh shit, that's He Who Remains. And He Who Remains is a variant of Kang. And if not for that, they go out there and they have to make these bold proclamations like, look, this is what we're doing to show we invested the money well. And it goes on where it's like, what about, you know, what was the original plan for Multiverse of Madness with the Illuminati? Was the original plan there going to be, you know, were we going to have Mr. Fantastic there? Were we going to have Professor X in such a large role? Was this movie even going to be that if we didn't get the rights to Fox? Well, if Marvel didn't have the rights to the Fox characters back, was that even the movie they were going to do? What would this have looked like without it? Because number one, you can't use Kang, period. Number two, how do you, like, Deadpool 3 seems to be an integral part. And it seems like Loki's going to dovetail in. How do those things mix? It doesn't make a ton of sense. And I would be very interested to know if that what's the case there. And then, like, you know, I don't know how deep the book goes. I haven't read the book. I'm interested to see where all of that kind of lines up. And I will read the book, and we'll get into that once I do read the book. But, God, like, it's just... And one of the things that came out of the book that is reasonably interesting is this idea that Marvel wants to reboot. Post-Secret Wars. They're going to use Secret Wars as a soft reboot. And to that end, I kind of understand it. At that point, we will be 20 movies in. At that point, we will have reached... You know, not 20 movies, it'll be 20 years in. Because, like, look, I don't think Secret Wars is coming out in 2027. I think the earliest it's coming out is 2028. At that point, it'll be 20 years. If it comes out on schedule, it'll be 19 years. That's an unruly amount of time to do it. You do an ultimate reboot, you start over, boom, you can bring back Iron Man, you can bring back Black Panther. And I think a lot of this is coming from the fact that the movies aren't making money the way they used to. And I think what they're going to run into is the fact that it was the actors who built these characters in some of these cases. I'm thinking about it, I'm like, who do you cast as Iron Man? Like, who do you cast as Tony Stark? And how do you do that in a world where, what's it called? Like, how do you do that in a world where so many people are going to equate it to him? Do you go completely opposite direction? Do you make him an antagonist? Like, there are so many things that are difficult about this reboot idea. I'm not against it. Certainly I'm not against it. Give me a reboot. We've seen, like, Spider-Man got rebooted 3 times in 20 years. If you want to reboot the whole thing, by all means, reboot the whole thing. I'm just curious as to how this all shakes out. And what that means for, you know, for us, for the viewer. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. We are consumers of a product, and I don't know how this kind of works. And I think, too, there's a chance that we end up in the, you know, people have talked about superhero movies going the way of the Western, and I think that, to an extent, we could end up in that place. I've said it, I don't know if I've said it on the show, or if I said it over on Beware of Spoilers, I think that the 2020s are going to be the beginning of the video game movie renaissance. We're in the beginning phases of it now. By the end of the 2020s, the video game movie will have taken the place of the superhero movie. That doesn't mean the superhero movie is gone forever. There will still be some, but I think we'll get less okay ones and more, you know, polar opposites. Is either fantastic or it's terrible. And look, superhero movies aren't going anywhere. We talk about, you know, what are some of the best movies of this year? Like, Across the Spider-Verse is in the conversation of one of the best movies this year, and Guardians 3 is fantastic. It's just, I don't know, like, do we see DC's reboot? Or does, you know, Aquaman bomb and they shorten the leash that they're giving James Gunn? Do we have, you know, is Marvel given as much runway to do what they want with this string of just things underperforming? And with the Marvels projected to not perform as well as people are anticipating, like, it's projected to do a $70 million opening weekend, which is just awful. And that movie is already going to be hampered by the fact that it's got The Hunger Games coming out the next week, Wish coming out the week after. Its earnings are not going to be great. Does Disney then shorten the leash on Marvel? Like, and if that's the case, what does the theatrical landscape look like? Because now we're looking at, well, if these things aren't bringing people to theater, and what is bringing people to theater are more auteur movies like Barbie. I think that we've seen Hasbro learn the wrong lesson from that when they jumped into production or into pre-production on a bunch of projects that are based on toys. And it's like, well, that wasn't the lesson to learn from Barbie. Like, it's kind of a weird situation all around. And I'm interested to see how this plays out. But I don't know. I mean, I think we could be in for an issue with theaters in the near future, too. This is just me thinking out loud a lot of the time, but if we're in a case where we can't get people consistently going to theaters, because it's like Star Wars may not do it, but you don't know how Star Wars is going to fare in this. And I think that general audiences aren't vibing with the Mando, you know, verse the way they were at the beginning. I don't think that the general public is thrilled about that. Maybe they can make more money on the new Jedi Order movie. But who knows what goes on there. And then, because things that we thought were going to do well this year just didn't. Fast and the Furious isn't bringing people into theaters. Indiana Jones isn't bringing people to theaters. I don't know what Star Wars movie you can make that will bring people to theaters. And I don't know what Marvel movie will do it besides, you know, the two big tentpole Avengers and, what's it called? And the other one, Deadpool 3. It's just kind of an awkward situation, and it doesn't seem like there's a good solution here. I'm just concerned about, like, if we have to sit here and wait for Avatar to come along, and that's going to be the thing that's going to bring people in. Because that's the other side of it. We talk about movies as from the perspective of the distributor, and from the perspective of the studio, and the perspective of the creator. But the film industry is also the exhibitors. And the exhibitors are the ones I'm worried for in this new thing, unless we can get to a point where video game movies can very quickly get on track and all of that, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue going forward. And I think that, you know, we talk about the reign of Marvel Studios, the name of this book. I think that this book is a little too soon because we may be looking at the end of Marvel Studios. And this is coming from someone who has their ticket for the Marvels. This is someone who watches Loki on a weekly basis. I think there's a chance that we're looking at a world in which Marvel Studios kind of falls off. And maybe there was a mistake in calling it Endgame. Maybe there was a mistake in doing that massive buildup and it feeling this is a good stepping off point. Like, maybe there was a mistake in doing that. Maybe there was a mistake in going into Disney Plus and oversaturating where things stopped feeling special. Like, I remember when WandaVision first came out and it felt special. And the reason for that was, I mean, it was partially the pandemic. We hadn't seen the Marvel Studios logo before or anything in a while. And it felt like, oh, good. This, something feels normal again. And now it's like I watch I Am Groot and I'm like, why are we bothering with this? What's the point of this? And it's like we watch Secret Invasion and it's like, what was the point of any of this? Like, and then there's the news, it's like, oh, they're gonna scrap Daredevil entirely and start from scratch, and oh, they're gonna start, you know, they're going to They're going to start hiring actual TV writers and TV executives. And it's like, wait, was that not the plan from the beginning? You jumped in with both feet into producing television and producing serialized content without figuring out how to make it work. I get that a lot of people, myself included, said that the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of feels like a TV show. But you thought that would just translate without having to hire people who have expertise in storytelling over that kind of medium? What the fuck were you thinking? It's such a bad decision. And then on top of that, to overload with the amount of content that came out, like, it's the kind of thing where I'm sitting there, I'm like, huh, there isn't that much Disney Plus stuff anymore. Like, certain shows work serialized, but I think you could have done the majority of these. Could have been movies. I'm sorry. Could have been movies. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm just beyond words on how poorly they've handled the post-Endgame transition. And I've liked a lot of their stuff. It's just, oh my god, you're overloading. There's just so much happening. And I think Marvel needs to like, I don't think Feige needs to go. I don't think that's the solution here. I think that what needs to happen is Disney needs to go back to what they either were doing or were, and like, speculated to have been doing, which was hand Marvel the blank check, make your shit, bring back money. Don't interfere. I feel like the reason we're in this state right now is Disney Plus and the merger. Both of which directly affected Marvel Studios, and both of which needed to be returns for the Walt Disney Company that put them under such pressure that they didn't have to before. And I think that that's kind of where we are right now, where it's like, we're like, the thing that's always sunk movies, or very rarely has helped movies, is studio interference. And what we're looking at is systemic studio interference, I think. That's just me speculating now. I will read the book and we'll find out more. Until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.